Lord, all-powerful, the God of Israel, says, offer burnt offerings along with your other sacrifices. Eat the meat yourselves. When I brought you, your ancestors, out of Egypt, I did not speak to them and give them commands only about burnt offerings and sacrifices. I also gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Do all that I command so that good things will happen to you. But your ancestors did not listen or pay attention to me. They were stubborn and did whatever their evil hearts wanted. They went backward, not forward. Since the day of your ancestors left Egypt, I have sent my servants, the prophets, again and again to you. But your ancestors did not listen or pay attention to me. They were very stubborn and did more evil than their ancestors. Jeremiah, you will tell all these things to the people of Judah, but they will not listen to you. You will call to them, but they will not answer you. So say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God. These people do nothing when I correct them. They do not tell the truth. It has disappeared from their lips.
Back in early 2004, I remember sitting with my father and mother in the doctor's office at the James Cancer Hospital. And I listened to the doctor say to my father, your cancer has metastasized to your lungs, and once it metastasizes, there is no cure. And that's not a message that anyone wants to hear. I know the doctor did not enjoy telling him that. I could tell it by the look on his face. But it was the truth. And it would have been wrong for him to come and say, oh, you're going to be fine. We can start you on chemo, and in a couple of months, you'll probably be in remission. You know, we often say the truth hurts, because it often does, as it did in that instance. But we still need to hear the truth. And we need people who are willing to tell the truth no matter how unpopular it may be. In the kingdom of God, the truth has to be told regardless of the consequences. And those are times when your faith may feel some heat. Now, if you want to follow along this morning, there is an outline in the bulletin on page 2, left hand at the bottom. If you want to follow along, you've already missed the first one. So the answer is truth. I'll give that to you just as a bonus this morning. Jeremiah was the son of a priest. He was born during the reign of King Manasseh, who was one of the most wicked kings who ever ruled over Judah. Idolatry was a huge issue when Jeremiah was growing up. He preached to the nation for 40 years. But during that time, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by Babylon, and the people were taken captive. They were exiled. Now, if you were a faithful minister, and you preached and taught the word faithfully, but there was a lot of sin going on in the church, which caused membership to decline every year until finally the church had to close its doors. If you were a minister in that church, how would you feel at the end of that? You would feel like a failure. That's the sort of what Jeremiah went through as a prophet of God. Not only that, but the religious leaders even blamed Jeremiah's preaching for some of the nation's troubles. God called Jeremiah to be his prophet in chapter 1, and Jeremiah responded in verse 6 by saying, I don't know how to speak. I'm just a boy. And more than likely, he was probably in his early 20s. But I can testify, as most ministers can, that when serving God, there is this feeling of inadequacy when you consider the scope and importance of the mission. Paul expressed this to the Corinthians, and referring to the ministry in which he was involved, he wrote, "Who's really equal to such a task?" And Paul answered that question, actually, in 2 Corinthians 3:5. He said, "It's God who makes us able to do all that we do." And I can amen that. And that's sort of what God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 7. He writes, "But the Lord said to me, 'Don't say I'm only a boy. You must go everywhere I send you, and you must say everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of anyone, because I'm with you to protect you,' says the Lord." And if you remember, Moses felt the same way. And the Lord told Moses in Exodus 4, "Who gives man his mouth? I'm going to be your mouth, and I'm going to teach you what to say." No one is really up to the task of ministry. It is God's power that enables each one of us to do the task of ministry. So Jeremiah then described how God empowered him in verses 9 and 10, and this is pretty amazing. It says, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. He said to me, 'See, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Today I have put you in charge of nations and kingdoms. You will pull down and tear down. I'm sorry, you will pull up and tear down, destroy and overthrow, build up and plant.'" Now, it'd be kind of hard to say no to that, wouldn't it? But if you read the book of Jeremiah, the majority of his messages were not very encouraging. He was going to have to pull up and tear down, destroy and overthrow before he could do any building. How many of you like to watch HGTV? Yeah, quite a few of us like to watch HGTV. My wife and I watch it all the time, and we watch a lot of house flipping episodes. Some of you even do some house flipping, probably. Where, you know, contractors and some of these people, they buy houses sight unseen. And so it's kind of funny when they show them going into these houses and they're going, this is horrible. There's mold sometimes, there's mildew, there's trash all over the place. And usually what they say, we got to gut this. There's always a lot of, before you can ever do any renovation, you first have to do some demolition, right? That's what was needed in the nation of Israel during the time of Jeremiah. You know, most ministers I know prefer to preach very enthusiastic, encouraging messages. And do you know why that is? It's because you primarily like encouraging messages, enthusiastic messages. But if we're to be true to our calling, we must at times present messages that you need to hear, but don't necessarily want to hear. Unfortunately for Jeremiah, the majority of his preaching was what the people needed to hear, but they refused to accept it. And here's an example. 3 times a year, the Jewish men were required to go up to the temple to celebrate feasts. And this might have been one of those occasions here. And God told Jeremiah in chapter 7 to stand at the gate of the temple and preach this message. Chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says: "Change your lives and do what's right. Then I'm going to let you live in this place. Don't trust the lies of the people who say this is the Lord's temple. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. You must change your lives and do what's right and be fair to each other." Now, why would he repeat that 3 times? Well, the people were being erroneously taught by the false prophets that the presence of the temple, the existence of the temple in Jerusalem, guaranteed that God was blessing them and would protect them from their enemies. God told them through Jeremiah, "Your worship is doing you no good because you're not living right." So there's an application there, right, for us today. I've told you previously on more than one occasion that when I was younger, I used to think going to church made me holy. I used to think that as long as I was going to church, God would look favorably upon me and would bless my life. But going to church doesn't make you holy. What God wants is for you to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if you do that, then you will live a life that pleases Him. Then you will live a holy life. And that's what God truly desires in you. Jesus addressed this on one occasion when He ran the merchants out of the temple courtyard and said they were turning God's house into a den of robbers. You know, these people were at the temple. They thought they were holy, but they were robbing the people. God then told Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, not to pray for these people. God said, I'm not going to listen to your prayers if you pray for them because of their idolatry. And He told Jeremiah that three times. Don't pray for these people. In chapter 7, verse 21, Jeremiah reminded these people that going to the temple and offering their sacrifices would do them no good. Their sacrifices were worthless because they were unfaithful. They were living sin-filled lives. God desired obedience, not just sacrifices. And so God delivered that message through several different prophets. If you read the prophets of the Old Testament, including Hosea in chapter 6, verse 6, where God said, I want faithful love more than I want animal sacrifices. I want people to know me more than I want burnt offerings. So God wants you to know Him intimately more than He wants anything else. God is more concerned about what you do Monday through Saturday than what you do on Sunday. Obviously, God's concerned about what you do every day, but my point is that His main concern is not just going to church. His main concern is the way you conduct your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. So Jeremiah here was in the unenviable position of preaching fire and brimstone to his own people. And he was commissioned to tell them that they were living sinful lives and to warn them to repent. And the response that Jeremiah received was not the response God desired. Instead of humility, instead of these people coming in humility and repentance, Jeremiah was persecuted for these messages. Jeremiah chapter 20, 1 and 2, it reads, Pashur, son of Immer, was a priest and the highest officer in the temple of the Lord. And when he heard Jeremiah's prophesying in the temple courtyard, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten. And he locked Jeremiah's hands and feet in stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin of the Lord's temple. That was the thanks that Jeremiah received for preaching God's word. It was one of those negative sermons. I've not yet experienced that, so I feel pretty blessed that I haven't been beaten or put in stocks. But Jeremiah didn't back down. He didn't water down his message. He stayed faithful to God. And the next day, when the priests released him from the stocks, Jeremiah delivered another message from God at that moment to the priest. He said, I will soon make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. You will watch enemies killing your friends with swords. And I will give all the people of Judah to the king of Babylon, who will take them away as captives to Babylon and then will kill them with swords. Talk about a negative sermon. My negative messages ought to sound pretty tame compared to Jeremiah's here. You know, it might be like me telling you to repent and start living right, because if you don't, you're going to hell. And no one likes to hear that, even though some people need to hear that. But Jeremiah was human, and he became very discouraged by having to preach those messages from God. He didn't enjoy telling people that what God was planning to do to them because of their willful disobedience. He didn't enjoy it for a couple of reasons. First of all, the people didn't like it and were hostile toward him, as I just explained, but also because not only did he love God, but he loved the people. He loved them. It's kind of like having to punish your own child. you know, which not many parents enjoy doing, but need to at times. You know, some children will react, if you've ever had this said to you, I've had it said to me, and I hate you when you punish your child. But you love your child, you know, and you want them to learn how to behave properly for their own benefit because, as I said, you love them. And Jeremiah wanted that for his people. But Jeremiah was so discouraged, he even thought about leaving the ministry. I don't know how many of you know this, but let me read this and then I'll go on with that. Chapter 20, verses 7 through 9, this was Jeremiah's thinking. I've become a joke. Everyone makes fun of me all day long. Every time I speak, I shout. I'm always shouting about violence and destruction. I tell the people about the message I receive from the Lord, but this only brings me insults. The people make fun of me all day long. And sometimes I say to myself, I'm going to forget about the Lord. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But then his message becomes like a burning fire inside of me, deep within my bones. I get tired of trying to hold it inside of me, and finally, I cannot hold it in. And so because of the negative response to his negative preaching, Jeremiah did not want to be God's prophet anymore. Do you know that on average, approximately 300 ministers leave the ministry each year because of discouragement? There are not enough ministers today to fill all the vacancies in our churches. And that's why there are always churches looking for ministers in various brotherhood publications like the Christian Chronicle and online web pages. So discouragement is a huge problem for ministers. And now I know that discouragement can happen with any job, so I'm not looking for any sympathy here this morning. Jeremiah's discouragement involved two sources: the message that God gave him to preach and the negative response it evoked. Jeremiah was so discouraged that in verse 16 he wished he had never been born. Now you might think, well, I wonder why God would choose such a weak man to be his prophet. But that's not really the way to look at it. The way to look at it is that Jeremiah was just like you and me, just like anybody else. He had strengths. He had weaknesses. He was one of them. And more importantly, you have to consider that Jeremiah wasn't just told, we don't like your negative sermons. In one of his sermons in chapter 26, he told the priests, the prophets, and the people that God was going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. And they all grabbed him and said, you must die. Now think about the courage it took Jeremiah to preach about the destruction of the temple. And he preached that in the courtyard of the temple. He didn't want to preach that message, but that was the message God gave him to preach. Now fortunately, I have not had that experience. I've had some people get angry at me a time or two, but no one has ever said to me that you need to die yet. The problem for Jeremiah was that he could not keep himself from preaching the words that God had given him. Jeremiah described it like a fire burning inside of him. He had a burning desire to speak the word of God that was implanted in him. And so you really have to admire Jeremiah. If you take time to read the book, he was faithful to God. He was faithful to his people even when it hurt. The message that God sent through Jeremiah was a warning, of course, that they were not living right. And if they didn't repent, they were going to face dire circumstances. God was going to destroy his own temple, which would not only be a national disgrace for Israel, but it would reflect very poorly even on God himself. And the people refused to accept Jeremiah's message, and they did not repent. And instead, they accused him of being unpatriotic and treated him like a false prophet who deserved to die. And to the religious leaders of Judah, including the priests, it was blasphemous for Jeremiah to prophesy that a heathen nation was going to occupy Jerusalem and destroy the holy city and God's holy temple. And so the leaders thought he was leading Israel astray. And part of the problem was all of the false prophets who were preaching messages that directly conflicted with Jeremiah's message, saying, hey, don't listen to him. Don't listen to Jeremiah. Everything's going to be okay, and Israel's going to be victorious over their enemies. Some of the abuse that Jeremiah endured as a result of his messages was really similar to the way criminals were treated. I mean, he was thrown in prison, his hands and feet placed in stocks. He was limited to a diet of bread and water at one point. He was beaten and thrown into a cistern to die. And yet he faithfully continued to deliver God's unpopular message. You know, Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet for several reasons. Number one, he was distraught over the sins of his people. Number two, the messages he was commissioned to deliver, of course, were very unpopular, as I mentioned. And number three, he didn't understand why God was allowing him to suffer for doing what God called him to do. So Jeremiah, to me, is a great example of what it means to take up your cross. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 that if anyone would follow me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. So the lesson for us is that no matter how popular the truth may be, or unpopular, I should say, no matter how unpopular the truth may be, no matter how difficult the Word of God is to follow, obey, no matter how much you may suffer as a result of righteousness and His Word, be faithful. No matter what. Jesus told the church in Smyrna in Revelation 2:10, be faithful even if you have to die. And I will give you the crown of life. There is no compromising when it comes to faithfulness. Your employer may ask you to do something that you believe is wrong. Saying no, refusing to go along with it, may jeopardize your employment. Will you be faithful? You may be a witness to some very unethical practices by your supervisor. Blowing the whistle may seriously impact your relationship with other employees and cause the supervisor to lose his or her job. Will you be faithful? Your boyfriend asks you to move in with him, and if you say no, it might jeopardize your relationship. Will you be faithful? You want to marry later in life, but if you just live together, you can save a lot of money in taxes. Will you be faithful? You may have to tell the truth about some really poor decisions you made that might impact whether or not you get a good job. Will you be faithful? Will you take up your cross in those situations? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take up your cross in those situations in order to be faithful to God? Or would you rather compromise your faith? Are you willing to suffer the consequences of being unfaithful? Are you willing to suffer the consequences of being faithful? Which those consequences may even be more severe. Jesus did. He suffered the consequences for being faithful. And he did it for you. We just honored him a few moments ago. Will you do it for him? When you deliberately decide to compromise your faith, it's like saying, you know, I really don't trust you, Lord. In fact, I have to admit, I love myself more than I love you, Lord. My comfort, my position, my welfare means more to me than your will. I don't think any of us want to place ourselves in that position. So will you be faithful? Will you take up your cross? Now, Jeremiah endured a lot more than you or I will ever have to endure for being faithful to his God, and truly it was a faith under fire. God calls you to be faithful, and that may sound like an easy thing to do, but faithfulness is never easy. You may have to experience some heat at times in order to be faithful to God. But, you know, remember, God hasn't called us to an easy life. You know, he's called us to come and die. You know, he's called us to be his ministers. And he said he would be with us to the very end of the age. Remember these words that Jesus said in Luke 9:24, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. So I this morning, I encourage you to take these next steps on your communication card. Listed on the back of your communication card, there's a verse to memorize, there are some verses to read, and there is a challenge. And the challenge this morning is the Be Faithful Challenge. Be faithful in all circumstances. Doesn't matter what it is. Trust God. Take up your cross and never lay it down. Always be faithful, no matter what. So the question is, do you want to save your life or lose your life? Saving your life, ironically, involves dying to sin and self. So the choice is, die to self and live, or live for self and die. That's the choice we all make in this life. This morning, if the Spirit of God has touched you, and you need to respond this morning, please let one of us know as we stand and as David leads us in this song.